It's my pleasure to welcome Joanne Greenway back to the studio tonight. She's one of our fine Cincinnati poets who is currently president of the Greater Cincinnati Writers League and author of two books of poetry. Tonight, we're going to talk about her chapbook titled Limited Engagement. Welcome, Joanne.
Thank you for having me.
I want you to tell us about the title of your book, Limited Engagement, because I know, among other things, that you have a great sense of humor. So how does it apply?
Well, limited engagement is a theatrical term. A show runs for X number of weeks or months, and so do our lives. So, except we hope that that extends to years. But we never know when the curtain's going to be rung down. And I was widowed fairly early in life, and that's the inspiration behind this poem.
So, if you would, tell us what you're going to read first. What's the title? And then give us the poem, please.
The title of this poem is Limited Engagement. In our storied careers, we embraced every role, restrained and sober, slapstick and screwball. The critics hailed the performers as fearless, losing ourselves in every role, nailing every scene in a single take. Siskel and Ebert would have given us two thumbs up, way up. We rarely strayed from the script, but we could ad-lib when we had to. And once in a while, we could not resist the sheer melodrama of a good fight scene. No stunt or body doubles for us. We took our lumps just like the pros. We never knew where we were in the arc of our story. At times, we had to improvise. Then one day, death swept the boards, chewed the scenery to bits and pieces, and rang the curtain down. Up and down Broadway, marquee lights went dark.
Thank you. I love the line, we never knew where we were in the arc of our story. Say a bit more about this poem, because you've already alluded to the fact that you were widowed young. Is that what inspired this poem?
Yes. You know, when you get married, you figure you're going to grow old together. You're going to celebrate a 50th wedding anniversary. You're going to have children, grandchildren, and so forth. And that did not happen for us. I think we don't like to really contemplate death, especially our own death or the death of someone we love. We go through life, most of our lives, marking the deaths of other people. We don't think of our own mortality. And of course, I have lost other loved ones at an early age, so I thought about it a lot. And my husband was a very healthy person who never missed a day of work for a long time. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, kidney cancer.
So that came into the arc of your story.
Yes.
And changed it completely.
Yes. You think you're going to get through a third act, and surprise, not going to happen.
So in writing this poem, which so beautifully describes marriage, the ups and downs of it, how did that affect your thoughts, your process of grieving, having gone through this? Did you write this a long time after your husband died or recently?
No, I wrote it fairly soon after he died. It was actually his death that basically pushed me into writing, because writing was how I was able to process my grief. I participated in a workshop that didn't focus on poetry, but focused on how one could process one's grief through writing. And that helped me a great deal. And anytime one of my friends has a problem or an issue they're working through, I tell them to write about it. And I've always kept a journal.
So we've talked about your husband's early death, but now we're going to talk about an early birthday with a poem that you celebrated on a child's 8th birthday. What was her request?
The Barbie Mystique. For her 8th birthday, my closest friend received the best present ever, a Barbie doll, a doll that could not walk or talk, whose sole purpose was to look chic and sexy. Undressed, she was female perfection. Perky neoprene bosoms, long coltish legs, blonde hair and blazing baby blues. Feet made for stilettos and a body for spandex and sparkle. She led many charmed lives. Princess, nightclub chanteuse, stewardess, cheerleader, and had a special outfit for each sex role stereotype. My shapeless little body bore no resemblance to hers. I wore big girl's clothes. Chibette was my label, my nickname, and my shame. Over the next 50 years, I died curled and straightened, wore crippling high heels, dieted and brutalized my joints in jazzercise, raised my flaccid breasts to new heights with industrial strength bras, and spent a princely sum on makeup and wardrobe in quest of the Barbie ideal. 50 years post-Barbie, I have lost collagen and bounce, sprouted so many spiderweb veins my legs look like roadmaps. Despite my mother's promises, this baby has kept her baby fat. I've taken back every ounce of every pound I ever lost, and then some. Gravity has taken over, and thick sweatshirts are a staple of my wardrobe. Barbie has been spared the corrosive effects of aging. There is no midlife or senior incarnation of her. Nor is there a Rasta Barbie or a Goth Barbie. There is only Flawless Beauty Barbie. Epilogue. My friend's Barbie died an unglamorous, bloodless death. The family Springer Spaniel carried her off, buried and dug her up again and again. A few passes of a riding mower finally finished her off. Rest in pieces, Barbie doll.
Thank you so much. I think it's so interesting. You sort of embody one of the contradictions in life, which is you came to writing out of grief, and nevertheless, your writing is full of humor. So you want to tell us a little bit about that? Is that just your philosophy of life, or did that change after your husband's death also?
I've always used humor, perhaps sometimes inappropriately, but it has gotten me through a lot. And whenever I do a reading of my poetry, I try to do a little shtick. Humor is difficult. It's serious, actually. You know, that's why we hear that somebody died on stage while telling a joke, or they crashed. It's tough to do. Timing is everything, especially when it comes to telling jokes or humorous stories. I think humorous poems definitely have their place in literature. Some people might dismiss them as flyweight or not serious, but I think humor is very serious because I think there is a lot said between the lines. There's always a tacit message that this is serious stuff.
Well, and your poetry exemplifies that. So I do want to ask you briefly about the Greater Cincinnati Writers League, of which you're currently president. How does that support your work, your personal writing?
Well, years ago, I wasn't writing poetry for publication or even for my own personal amusement. I decided that I would try it after reading some of my friend Jerry Judge's poetry. He was in the league, and he encouraged me to put my work out there. And I entered a contest sponsored by the league and won an honorable mention. And that was the start of my poetry career. I never thought I would publish a chapbook, but have succeeded in publishing one, and another is on the way. I think it takes a lot of courage to put your creative product out there for all the world to consume. So I've been very gratified by what I've been able to accomplish, and I'm always looking to encourage new writers to try it also.
Well, and certainly the Greater Cincinnati Writers League serves as something of a support group, if you will, certainly.
Yes.
I do want to thank you so much for being with us tonight, for sharing your wonderful poetry.
The pleasure is all mine. Thank you.
Good to be with you. I've been talking with Joanne Greenway about her chapbook, Limited Engagement. Her newest book of poetry, True Confessions, from Finishing Line Press, is expected out later this fall. You'll find more information at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.